We do celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, and while I'm not going to necessarily speak about that, as I mentioned to you earlier, I just pray and hope that you remember and not take for granted the freedoms that we enjoy. The freedoms that we can enjoy in Jesus Christ as Lord, and the freedoms that we enjoy in this great nation. And the freedoms that we still enjoy in this great nation have come at God's blessing and at the cost of human life. And I hope we will not forget that. I'm actually looking forward tomorrow to hearing Charlie Poulton here in the Motley School and at the Poplar Cemetery. Charlie is part of our congregation. He'll be here in the second service. And he was 35 years in the military, from Vietnam to Iraq. And I'm looking forward to hearing him. He loves the Lord first and foremost, I might add. And so, tomorrow will be a day of remembrance. Over the next month or so, we are going to visit some topics under the spiritual discipline category. Why, you might ask? Well, a couple of reasons, one of which, people have asked me lately about some of these things. But also, it has become apparent to me, and I suspect to you as well, over the last months, years, weeks, whatever, that much of our culture today is seemingly unaware of biblical truths and biblical principles. Have you noticed that? I have too. I'm not saying that you're unaware today of biblical principles, but I'm saying that culture today is unaware of biblical principles and biblical truth. You may remember that last week I mentioned the group called the Millennials. That's the age group born between 1980 and 2000. They're basically the 30-ish and down. Today, I mentioned to you the statistic of that age group is going to church today voluntarily. You remember the statistic? Who remembers? 4% of the millennials are going to church today. That doesn't mean that church is irrelevant. It means that we need to help, whether regardless of whether we're more than that or less than that or in the millennial age, that the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ is still relevant and still important to every age. You recall, I mentioned to you a while ago, the generation that is just leaving us. They've by and large left us, but there's still a few in their 90s still with us. That generation that was born after the turn of the last century was a generation of people that believed the Word of God. 85% of that generation believed the Word of God to be true. That's remarkable, because today the statistic isn't anywhere near that. That generation is all but gone now. And each subsequent generation believes in it less and less and less. 100 years ago, they had a sense of right and wrong. It didn't matter if they were in a Protestant church or a Catholic church or no church. They had a sense of right and wrong. Amen? That's the way it was. But culture and societal norms have changed the sense of right and wrong today. 100 years later, we're not sure what's right and what's wrong. We think we know, and we're allowing culture to mold us and form us into what's right and wrong. But I fear that we're out of touch with the Word of God. Current societal trends and even some laws or allowances in society have fashioned our thinking today in culture more than the Word of God. Are you hearing me this morning, brothers and sisters? Culture is fashioning us, the way we live, the way we think, the way we act, more than the Word of God, even in the church house. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little concerned about that. I fear, and I've said this before, and I know it might seem harsh, but thank you. I fear that we are quickly becoming a, and even though I love this nation, and you know I do, we are quickly becoming a nation that is illiterate to the Word of God. In and out of the church. We're not sure anymore what the Bible says. We're not sure what it has to offer. We're not sure of its structure. We're not sure of its makeup. We're not sure of its disciplines. And quite frankly, I fear, as a nation of progressives, we like to think in modern terminology today, the modern family and the modern way of doing things, and progressives, quite frankly, I fear that in our progressive way of thinking, we don't care what the Bible says. But may we assume for a moment it's still real today? May we assume today for a moment it's still valid? I think it's still valid. Anybody else? I think it's still relevant for 21st century living, 21st century America. And I want to assume that today, in this next month or so that we talk about spiritual disciplines, I want us to just assume like I do, it's still real and it's still needed. And it's still real important that we live by what it says. Now, before I go into my first scripture, let me please say this. I am here in no way to condemn anybody. Okay? That's not my purpose here. But I am going to enlighten us to what the Word of God says. You still with me? The Word of God is truth. It was when it was written. It is today. And sometimes it gets on my toes. Does it get on yours? Sometimes it gets on our toes. And so please bear in mind, I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to help us realize the Bible is still relevant. Even though we might be a society of progressives, it's still necessary. And it still has a word for us in the 21st century, the same as it did when the disciples wrote it. I'm going to show us from Scripture that God has a plan for us too. And you know what? It's a better plan than society's plan. It's a better way than the societal norm. And so, may I invite you to our first scripture at Ephesians 5. I'm going to have three sets of scripture this morning. Over the next month, we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines of fasting, tithing, holiness, and today's topic, what will not enter into God's holy eternal presence. Why? Because you have asked me about these topics lately, and I thought that we will address them together. While you're finding Ephesians 5, do you believe in heaven? Yes. Do you believe in hell? Yes. A lot of people don't. And many that believe in heaven today would say all roads lead there. Friends, that's not what the Bible says. And again, please hear me. I'm not trying to be condemnatory to anybody. But there is an almighty God in heaven that created the heavens and the earth, who spoke into word this good book we call the Holy Bible. There is an almighty God who has not changed over the millennia. Even though we have changed, our culture, our outlook, our appearance even as a church has changed, Almighty God has not. And the way to be with Him in eternity forever has not changed. Jesus is the way, the only way. Being passionate, surrendered, humbled followers of Jesus is what God Almighty asks us. It don't matter denomination. He asks us to be surrendered, humble followers of Jesus. He hasn't changed. And so, Ephesians 5 says this. I better put this back here. I might get a little carried away and knock it down. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today because it's fairly easy to understand. If you've got a New King James, King James, NIV, they'll be similar, but there'll be some words that are a little different. Ephesians 5, New Living Translation 1 through 5, imitate God. That's Paul's challenge to the church. Brothers and sisters, are we imitating God today in the church? I'm not saying this building, in the church around the world. Are we imitating a holy God today in the church houses of America and North America and around the world? We that claim the name of Christ, are we imitating a holy God? Because that's our challenge. That's our call. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Imitate God. Brothers and sisters, if the world is molding us and fashioning us into the cultural societal norms, we're not imitating God. He's a holy God, and the world ain't holy today. Maybe it never was, but it ain't holy today. Paul says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us, and He offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Number 3, verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Some of your translations will say fornication and covetousness, but he lists these three. He's talking to the church. Such sins have no place among God's people. 4, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. There's not for you, he says, people of God. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Verse 5, you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Brothers and sisters, hear me now. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just trying to enlighten us to the Word of God. Let us not forget, even though we're a society of progressives, that the Word of God has not changed. And Paul writes, you can be sure of it. Greed has taken over us. All these things are so easily taking over us. And Paul reminds us, we're never going to inherit the kingdom of God if this is who we are individually. For a greedy person, he goes on, is an idolater worshiping the things of the world. And he reminds him in verse 8, before you come to know Christ and were filled with and walking in the Holy Spirit, that's who we used to be. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light. You see, brothers and sisters, if we believe in heaven, and we believe that God is holy, and we recognize the truth from the Word, we recognize that sin cannot be in God's presence. And that's why Paul writes what he writes here. Because he's challenging and he's calling the church as followers of Christ. Sin cannot enter God's presence. And if our lifestyle is a willful lifestyle of sin like these, he says clearly, you can be sure of it. Even though society may say it's other than that. Galatians 5. We were in Ephesians 5, now let's look at Galatians 5 for a minute, for a couple of minutes. Beginning at verse 16, Galatians 5, 16. Paul writes, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. I love this directive from Paul. Imitate God. That's the first one. And the second one, he knows we ain't going to be successful in our own. He knows where our flesh is weak. He knows we've got to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and be born again. And we've got to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Or we're not going to be able to follow the Master. We've got to let the Holy Spirit of God lead us. Help us in our thinking. Help us conduct ourselves in a godly manner. We've got to let the Holy Spirit do it. We can't do it on our own. And so Paul's challenge to the people, the churches at Galatia, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what is sinful, what the sinful nature craves, he writes. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. We fall into these traps, you see. When we follow the desires of our sinful nature, we fall into these traps. Sexual immoralities, impurities, lustful pleasures, idolatries, sorceries, hostilities, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and all other sins like these. Paul says, let me tell you again, Church of God, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking to people in and out of the church. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, but preacher, I come to church. If this is our lifestyle, in or out of the church, and bear in mind, we can never live successfully without Jesus Christ being Lord. We can never be conquering sin without Jesus Christ as Lord and His Holy Spirit leading us. But Paul is clear, anyone living these sorts of lives will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, but preacher, I said a prayer once. If we've said a prayer to receive Christ and forgive us of our sins, then these shouldn't be our makeup. The Lord is going to help us with these things. Yes, we'll have struggles. Yes, we'll have sinful tendencies. But we shouldn't keep saying yes to sin if we've been born again. I've heard the arguments. I've probably even used the arguments at one point in my life. Yeah, but I'm a church member. Yeah, but I'm as Christian as the next. We may say we're Christian. We may say we go to church. We may have made an appearance at the altar one time. We may have even been baptized. But Paul is clear. If these are our lifestyle, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. A willful lifestyle of sin, Paul is reminding us, will not be part of God's eternity. He's a holy God. And that's why He sent His Son, so that we might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But we've got to apply the blood of the Lamb, and we've got to walk in newness of life, filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, we'll have struggles. Yes, we'll have temptations. But we can be victorious in Jesus, because He said we should be. He said we can. And Paul says we must be victorious in Christ when we're led by the Holy Spirit, because these kinds of willful lifestyles of sin will never be part of the kingdom of God. So if my life is still hung up in idolatry, my worship of myself, my agenda, my pride, my stuff, I'm still in idolatry. If greed defines me and everything I do, Paul addresses the greed of our lives. The anger, the immorality, the drunkenness, the lustful pleasures, and on it goes. A willful lifestyle with no cause for turning away from the sin. Repentance means turning away, by the way. A willful lifestyle, Paul is clear about these, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21 for the last one. Jesus speaking. Revelation 21:6, it is finished, Jesus said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now listen to what he says. Listen to his invitation. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely of the springs of the water of life. Hallelujah. Amen? Everybody that will come, anybody and everybody that will come. He doesn't care about our past. He cares about our future. To all that will come and recognize a need for repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ, he says, to all who are thirsty, I will give freely of the springs of the water of life. Jesus' invitation is out. God's invitation is out for everybody to come to Christ and to be born again, to be born of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, and to be part of His kingdom forever. The invitation is sent out to everybody. Then he says, all who are victorious, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Verse 8, the words of Jesus. But cowards, King James Version says cowardly, but the cowardly. New Living Translation says, but cowards. You ever wonder what that means? Anybody wonder, like my mind wonders about these things? Here's what I think it means. You may not agree, and that's okay, because I may not be right, but I could. I think I am. I think it's people that say they're Christians and not willing to follow Jesus. The cowardly. Yes, I'm a Christian, by golly. I'm as Christian as the next, and my life looks just like what Paul was describing. I'm cowardly to follow Jesus. I think that's what he's talking about. Because the very next statement, he talks about unbelievers. This is the words of Jesus. But cowards, the cowardly, and unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now let me say before I go any further, there is hope in Jesus. There is forgiveness of every one of these sins. Every one of them. If we will repent and cry out to Jesus Christ as Lord and allow His Spirit, there is hope. There is victory, and there is an eternity waiting for all who are victorious in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's hope. Even though I was a liar, or I was a coward, or I was an unbeliever, or I was immoral, or I was greedy, there is hope in Christ. If we will surrender to Him completely and allow His Spirit to lead us, we will be victorious in Him, and there is a hope of heaven for us. But Jesus is clear as Paul is clear. If this is our lifestyles, brothers and sisters, if this is where we're staying, claiming to be a Christian but never being born again, claiming to be Christian but never allowing the Holy Spirit to move me away from what I used to be, Paul and Jesus are clear, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I said this earlier, and I'm going to close with it too. I'm not here to condemn. I want us to be aware, brothers and sisters, that the Bible is still real, no matter what culture and society says. The Bible is still our guide. Because if the Bible is not our guide, we will fall into the trap of the Old Testament, and they did whatever was right in their own eyes. And that's precisely what we're doing, and we're still saying, yeah, but, preacher, all roads lead to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. And so, I'm not here to condemn, but to make us aware one more time of the word of truth. Now let me say this, and I'm gonna shut up. We cannot live victoriously without Jesus. I know the arguments because I've been there. Yeah, I'm a Christian too, and looked like the world. Until we surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That means a repenting of sin, which means turning away. Believing in what God has provided to me in Jesus Christ and receiving Him as Lord until we have been born again, we will never be victorious. And worse yet, we will never be part of the kingdom of heaven. But when we are born again, it's a new day. Yes, we will have temptation and sometimes we'll have struggles. But we can live victorious. Paul is addressing and Jesus is addressing those that don't care. I'm just going to go ahead and do my thing. And it involves idolatry and outbursts of anger and drunkenness and lustful pleasure or whatever else. Those sinful lifestyles that are unwilling to turn from that, Jesus and Paul are clear, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care how many church memberships we have. We've got to let the Spirit lead us in newness of life. We've got to be born again. We've got to, as Jesus said, deny ourselves every day and take up our cross and follow Jesus. And so, if we're struggling with these things, maybe it's because we're still doing them in our flesh and we haven't surrendered completely to Jesus. Then today would be the time to surrender to Jesus. If we have been born again and we know it, and we're still struggling with these things, then cry out to God in His Spirit for additional strength to overcome. Remember what Jesus said, those who are victorious. Another translation says, overcomers. God desires a better way for us, brothers and sisters. I know what society says. I know what culture is saying. But God's got a better way for us. It's to follow Jesus. Bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for this great nation. This nation that you have blessed, that you have protected, that you have guided, that you have provided for. Father, I pray that all these things are not just in our past, but also in our future. I pray that we as a nation would recognize you as God. Recognize that we are not. Recognize that your way is better. Your way is best. And recognize that we need to be redeemed. Recognize that we need to be a humble, surrendered people to your authority and to your word. As an individual, as churches, as a nation, you have shed your grace on us, O God, and we praise you for that. But I pray, Heavenly Father, our nation, as a nation, we would see a turning to you instead of this running away from you that we are experiencing right now. I pray that our churches would be places of revival, filled with the Holy Ghost, living passionate, surrendered, humble lives, obedient to the call of Christ, loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving them even into the kingdom. And so, Father, I pray that we would enjoy this weekend, we would celebrate this weekend, we would remember this weekend, but that your people would be followers of Jesus more than just on Sunday. And that we would recognize your call, Lord Jesus, to come to the waters of life because you will give us life. But also to be victorious in you, Lord Jesus. And so as we go from here today, Father God, I pray, guide us and direct us to a closer walk with Jesus. And Father, if we're here today and we've never been born again, I pray today is the day we'll get with you and say, Lord, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and take control. I pray that we would do that today. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. Continue to speak to their hearts. Watch over them this day and this weekend. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.